Okay, it's time to begin. So welcome to Wheatland Baptist Church this morning. Glad to have you all here. So let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. And just thank you folks for all being here. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for the love you have, the way you take care of us, the way you provide. And Lord, just during the good times and the bad times, Lord, you're there. And again, the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're there. And Lord, just help us to always be remindful of that. Lord, in whatever situations we find ourselves in. I just pray now that you'll open our hearts to the Word of God. Lord, to this great book of Romans. Help us, Lord, to understand it. Lord, just give us all a more of a desire to have a closer walk with you. Lord, just to draw near and closer to you. Because, Lord, you are worthy. And we're thankful for that. So just speak to our hearts, Lord, as each of us have need this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as we've been going through a lot of this, you know, this stuff here with Nancy and everything, and again, I hope that you're applying this to your own situation. There's some people out here that maybe have really been hurt bad or a bad situation, whatever. And there might be some bitterness there. And I hope that as we're going through this, as I'm sharing my heart, and it's all part of the teaching. And as you, I pray that you don't get bitter at God. Don't get mad at God. His ways are perfect. And what he does is always right. He does not make any mistakes in my situation or yours. And I just pray that it's a learning experience for all of us. As we go through this together, folks, we're a team. We're a team. We're in it together. And I pray that you can, if you've got bitterness, if you're angry, and you feel like you've been mistreated, and there's probably a lot of those feelings out there, I pray that you can give it over to God. Let him have it and just realize, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't have to. But, Lord, I know your ways are right. You've got a purpose. You told us that. And I just pray that in my situation that I'm living in, or in the past, whatever, something maybe you've not been able to forgive somebody for, you can't understand it. Say, Lord, I want to just commit it to you. You could have prevented it. You didn't. You chose not to. And, Lord, I'm just praying that your will be done through it. And that's what Nancy and I are trying to do the best way we can. And I want to pass that on to you. And help you maybe in your situation. And so, okay, get to the book of Romans. Okay, this morning we're going to begin in Romans chapter 11, and we're going to begin at verse 16. And just have a little short introduction here leading us into this section. It says, we thank the Lord that any person, Jew or Gentile, at any time can come to Christ. Folks, any time. Isn't that wonderful? Anytime, God will take us as we are. I think of a hymn that we used to sing. You don't hear it much anymore, but just as I am without one plea. And we always used to sing that as an invitation song every night, every church service. We'd always sing that song. For in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in him. And we pray that no one would leave this place who's not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Folks, my prayer is that each and every one of you are saved. And I have no way of knowing. Nobody knows but God and possibly but you, you know, if you're not. And because I struggle that struggle. I've talked about that. No single thing more demonstrates God's faithfulness to his promise than his unfailing love for the nation of Israel. You look at the way Israel has treated God, and yet God is faithful. He's remained faithful. He will continue to remain faithful to his promise. He made a promise, and they have done everything they can possibly do to make him mad, you might say. But God's not going to change. He made a promise. He's going to stick with it no matter how rebellious they've been. Now, he's punished them. A nation which did everything to negate those promises, everything to violate that love, and still God is true to his promise and true to his love. for that nation. They're still his chosen people. In spite of their sin, in spite of their rejection, in spite of their unbelief, there's still a place for the nation of Israel in the plan of God. He's still going to use them in a mighty way. Mighty way. And that's a reality of Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, which is an epistle on salvation to demonstrate how faithful God is to his promises. He promises us salvation, and he will grant it. He will grant it. Folks, that day is coming. That day is coming. That trumpet's going to sound. I just say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. So, okay, with those thoughts in mind, let's go ahead and read Romans 11. We're getting into some very practical stuff right here. Very practical. Romans, I'm sorry. That's what I'm preparing in the future. That's where I was studying yesterday, okay? Scratch that. Well, this is good too. But I mean, the other thing is just right down where the shoe leather meets the sidewalk as far as our daily living. And I got mixed up. But this is also, all of the Bible's good, right? Everything. Every word is divinely inspired. All right. Okay, Romans 16, 11, 16 through 21. Who'd read that? Delbert? Okay, thank you, Delbert. Okay, a lot of good teaching here, all right? So verse 16 starts off, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. Okay, it's talking about the first fruits here. Now, what in the world is this talking about? So to find out, let's go back to the book of Numbers, and we're going to read Numbers chapter 15. I'll just tell you this, Numbers chapter 15. And I'm always so glad that I've had a chance beforehand to put a little marker in my Bible so I can get to it about the same time all of you do, even with my marker here. Now, this section here is going to be talking about a heave offering. It's the same thing as talking about the first fruits. And so the two are basically talking about the same thing, just using different terminology there. So Numbers 15, 17 through 21. And who'd read that? Royce, I see that hand. Okay, thank you, Royce. Okay, so this is basically what this is talking about. The first fruits, you know, it's the first part of the dough, you might say. The first fruits of your dough, referring to that which they would use to make bread, you know, in verse 21. It says, of the first fruits of your dough ye shall give to the Lord. Okay? And by the way, we're talking about that, again, is this... I'm just going to bring this up. This isn't in my notes. But we're to give to the church our tithe offering, and that is supposed to come first. And a lot of times we tend to put that at the tail end. And we wind up having more month than we have money. And when it comes time now to give to the Lord, all the money's gone, and Lord, I don't have anything to give you. Folks, it's a command from God that we give to Him the first fruits. And that is something that we did not live with at first, but we did later on in life. Okay, when you got kids and stuff, you're struggling, you're broke, all this, it was tough. But anyway, but we finally, drilled into me enough that we did. You give to the Lord first, and that way you don't run out of money for the Lord because it's there to begin with. And that is a proper way to tithe to the Lord, or to give to the Lord. And so if you're not doing, bear that in mind, because God, He wants the first fruits. He wants it from the Jews. He wants it from us. Pay the Lord first, and then the rest of the month seems to work out. It seems to work out. You have some comment, Roberta?
Well, I was wondering, is that why we call money
double? I think you got a good point there. Very good. Very good. Anybody else have anything to say to that? Folks, I'll testify it works. It works. Anybody else want to testify that it works? Okay, we got hands going. Okay, folks, it works. It works. I don't know how God works it out, but God will fulfill His promises. He will take care. Okay.
You cannot give God.
Nope, can't do it. Can't do it. All right, now you got that free of charge. All right? Okay. Okay, the first fruits of your dough you shall give to the Lord. The objective was that each time dough was prepared, a little piece of the dough was pulled off of the larger portion. And that little piece of dough was to be given to the Lord. Okay, so how did they give it to the Lord? It was taken to the temple, and it became sustenance for the priest. That's what fed the priest. Because see, the Levites, they were supposed to, they had the service of the Lord. They didn't own land. And they're supposed to work in the temple. But it was an offering given to the Lord. It was a first fruits. God was always teaching them that everything really belonged to Him. Even though they were pulling off the little part of the lump, that was actually symbolic of dedicating the whole loaf of bread, okay? Here's a portion, Lord, but it represents the whole. In other words, well, get back to you. Everything really was consecrated to Him, to God, okay? The small piece was symbolic of the whole. It was a symbolic way of saying, I want it all to be consecrated to God, and this symbolizes that desire to give a portion to the Lord, you know, which actually wound up sustaining the people who were doing all of the temple worship and sacrifice and stuff. All the dough then was dedicated in the act of giving the small portion. And folks, we need to take a look at what we have and everything. Folks, it all belongs to the Lord. The Lord gave everything that we have got. He has given it to us. You might have said, well, I got it from the sweat of my brow working at my job. Well, God gave you the brains and the strength to do your job. And again, you thank Him for it. Because if you had an IQ of 1, you wouldn't be able to do your job. All right? So anyway, so everything, it all belongs to God. It's all His. And we're stewards. We just use what He's given us. It was a way of saying, thank you, God. I realize this is your provision. All of it. All of it. I offer it back to you in the sense that I want it to nourish me to do all the things that would honor your holy name. The food we eat. We ought to just thank Lord and say, Lord, I want to use the strength of this to honor you, to glorify you, to live for you. If the first fruits are set apart, it is saying that the whole lump is set apart or consecrated. That is a sense of what he's saying here. The verse goes on to say, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. Okay? So we got the root in the ground, and then we got the branches coming off. The root's holy. It's feeding the branches. The branches are holy. And so in the dedication of the root, in other words, the loaf, you know, there is the implication that the branches belong to God as well. They belong to God. They're His. And I guess, I think I said something just a little bit out of context here. I said, just because the root is holy, that means the branches are holy. Forget that I said that, okay? Because we're getting ready to talk about some of the branches got broken off because they were not holy, okay? So, scratch, I had a misstatement there. All right. So when any small part is devoted to the Lord, it is symbolic that the whole is devoted to the Lord. That's what it's talking about with this peace taken, offered the peace to the Lord. That is essentially the principle, and it was very much a part of the Jewish thinking. They lived by that. I mean, folks, they were zealous to keep the law, the rules, you know. And they thought, by keeping rules, I'm going to be saved. For example, when they came and gave the first fruits of their grain to the Lord, they were saying, in effect, this is but a representative token of the fact that I have dedicated all of my grain to you. All of it to you. And we do the same thing. We may not be farmers, you know, we may not be baking bread, but everything we have, it all belongs to God. And a lot of times we try to hang on to it and say, no, it's mine, it's ours. When they gave to the Lord the first fruits, as it were, of their week, they came on a Sabbath day, and they say, we want to give this day to you. We want to acknowledge that our time belongs to you and our worship belongs to you. And I remember one time a preacher was preaching years ago, but he says something about, you know, we're supposed to give a tithe of our income. He says, what about giving a tithe of our time? A tithe of our time? And this is basically what this sentence just said. And we are to spend time honoring the Lord, giving to the Lord. And again, as I'm going through all this, I'm still in the back of my mind. I've been working on all this stuff, Romans 12, 1 and 2, dedicate your body a living sacrifice. Oh, folks, I mean, God has been working me over with that. Oh, my goodness. And I moved on beyond that. But then the part that comes back after that, after the verses 1 and 2, it's all basically telling you how to do what verses 1 and 2 say to do. And I look at my life and I say, Jim, how are you doing? Oh, my goodness. I dread teaching it, folks. Anytime somebody came to those verses, I want to run and hide because I'm so far out of line from what that verse, what God is actually asking us to do. And it's rich. It's good. It's good. But and then we can kind of see why God is angry with us at times. All right. It was like consecrating all of their time. It is symbolic that all that I possess would be for your glory, God. And we would think we should be thinking the same way as well. We're talking about the Jews now, but it applies to us and to our lives. Now, what is Paul intending by these analogies? Just this. If one portion of the Jewish people are consecrated to the Lord, then the rest must be also. Okay? In other words, talking about the lump and the branches, okay? Christ is the lump, or God is the lump. The Jewish people were the branches. And we're going to be talking about the grafted into the wild olive branches. That's where we're heading with all of this. So who are the first fruits? It's talking about the first fruits. The first fruits of the Jewish nation, you know, talking about God being the root, but God, these are the first fruits, according to this analogy here. They're Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the fathers, and the patriarchs. In other words, we could kind of consider them, you know, along with God, they are the root. They are the supplying nutrition for the branches. And if God sets the first fruits apart, then he was setting the whole lump apart. And if God set the root apart, then he's setting the branches apart. And that's the way it was. It started off that the Jews were the branches. They're the natural branches. This is Paul's way of saying, you Jews know very well that a part of a thing consecrated intends to say that the whole is consecrated. That's what Paul's trying to say here. And that is the basis for the believing that Israel will return to the place of blessing, and the fact that God consecrated the patriarchs to himself. And God did that. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We've seen that a lot of time. And that basically is kind of the part of the root, you know, that supported all the Jewish people. I mean, the scriptures came from these guys and everything, you know. He said, And due to that consecration, he has consecrated the whole. He's got to have a place for Israel, because if God has set the patriarchs apart as the first fruit of the root, then he also has set the lump and the branches apart. In other words, he'd set the Jewish people apart and as a nation, not individually, but as a nation. And they've always been God's chosen people. They will remain that way. The final restoration of Israel is guaranteed by the consecrating love of God for Abraham. God set Abraham apart and made that covenant with him that he would be a progenitor of kings and the world would be blessed through his loins. And that was a promise that God made to him. And, you're going to be a blessing to the world. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51, we'll read verses 50, or we'll read verses 1 and 2. So who'd read 1 and 2 for us? John?
Hearken to me, ye that fall after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, and to Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him.
Okay, so when he's talking about look unto the rock, in verse 1, he's referring to Abraham. You know, Abraham. And God says, I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. And so God is talking about Abraham as basically the beginning of the lump, you know, from the human standpoint. The human standpoint. And God begins with Abraham. What he is saying is, look back to the rock that established relationship between God and Abraham. Look back to that. That is a basis of the future restoration of the people of Israel, because God made a promise to Abraham. They were consecrated in the consecration of Abraham. Paul is saying here, there is a place for Israel in the future, because God has made that promise. Okay, back to Romans. Now we're ready for verse 17. Excuse me. I got to talk to my doctor again about this. He changed my medication once and it had helped for a little bit. Verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, it says that if some of the branches were be broken off, okay, this goes back to the old Israel. It was customary in Palestine to give new life to an old olive tree when it ceased to be very productive. In other words, a tree is not being very productive. They would cut off of the old unproductive branches and graft in a shoot from a wild olive tree that would be very productive. And the strength of the old roots mingled with the strength of that new branch would create a new kind of productivity. In other words, the wild olive branch would be alive, but it would also bring life back to the lump or to the root. You know, it would strengthen, the two of them working together would strengthen both of them together. And the trunk, if you will, is a trunk of blessing, the trunk of special relationship to the living God. And the branches are Israel, who was the original set of branches on the trunk of covenant blessing. So, again, talking about the relationship between God and Israel. But most of Israel in unbelief became unproductive. Notice that it says some of the branches were broken off. You know, it didn't say all, some. Again, God has always got a remnant. There's always some there. Some of the branches were broken off. Some of them remained. That's the remnant who produces fruit. It's a good thing you brought that, Charla. Thank you. And thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them. And so God cut those branches off and grafted in the wild olive branches. And who are the wild olive branches? We are. Gentiles. Okay? They rebel. Again, it's going back to the fact Israel rebelled. God put them on a shelf temporarily. And now he's brought the church in, the Gentiles. And he's doing his work now through the Gentiles. And we're living in that age right now. What is the issue here? The issue is one simple thing, faith. Faith. Jew or Gentiles, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're grafted into the place of blessing. Folks, if you're saved, you're grafted into the place of blessing, where the life of God flows through and produces fruit. Be they natural branches or unnatural, they're in the place of blessing, Jew or Gentile. Now again, God blesses unsaved people. There's no doubt about that. But the real blessings come to the Christians. We should be the happiest people on earth. The issue is personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save. And the question, have you put your complete trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone to save you? Have you done that? Have you done that? He's the only way anybody's ever going to go to heaven. There's nothing you could do on your own to save yourself. Nothing. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than walking into a garage makes you a car. You've heard that me say that many times, okay? That is why he shed his blood on the cross to be your perfect sacrifice, to pay for your sin debt that you're unable to pay. Christ paid it. Without him, you're lost. With him, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven, period. That's the Bible. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Doesn't matter what you've done, how bad you've been, he's willing to receive you. His arms are wide open. So anyone coming in faith to trust Christ will be received. Anyone. Anywhere. Anytime. The verse goes on to say, And with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Talking about the wild olive branches being grafted into the root. And that's how we have been grafted in and become partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. We've been grafted in. but we're wild. We're not the natural branches, we're the wild branches. We become the spiritual children of Abraham. And we're going to see that. I mean, the Bible specifically says that. Christians are the children of Abraham through faith. Okay? And covenant blessing that flowed through Abraham has flowed to us, as it were, because of the grafting in. Folks, we need to be thankful that God grafted in the wild olive branches. That's us. In Matthew 22, the Lord says, since the people who were supposed to come to the wedding won't come, you go out and get anyone who will come. In chapter 21 in Matthew, he says, the people who should have accepted my prophets and my son slew them. They killed them. So I'm going to take the kingdom from them and give it to another people who are worthy of it. Okay? And that's the grafting in of the church, the grafting in of the Gentiles. I never understood what that parable was talking about until I studied this lesson for Romans. I never did know. I mean, I'm learning right along with everybody else, folks. Verse 18. It says, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Boast not against the branches. Now what's he saying? He's warning the Gentiles against pride. Against pride. Against saying, hey, the Jews got broken off, set aside, and we've been grafted in. Now we're superior. Now we're top dog. He's saying, don't boast that way. Look down at verse 21. It says, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. If God booted them out, he could boot us out just a whole lot quicker. You know? Because they're the natural branches. We're the wild. We're the wild ones. But the verse goes on to say, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Folks, we tend to get the horse or the cart ahead of the horse in our thinking a lot of times. You don't carry the root carries you. Charlotte may have to make another trip before we get this lesson over with today. No, I'm good. I got plenty up here yet. All right. You don't carry the root carries you. You're not the source of your own blessedness. We're not, folks. You are blessed by being connected to an Abrahamic root. If we Gentiles have any blessing from God, it's because we are blessed, as it were, through Abraham. So we partake of all the blessing because we're grafted in the covenant salvation that God made with Abraham. We're tapped in. We're tapped into that root, you know, the human root, you might say, where God started with Abraham. And then, like I say, there's all the patriarchs and all the others that we're actually kind of built on that, and then it all just spreads out from that. We have been grafted in to a root of blessedness by the grace of God. God's grace, and that's it. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. And when we're done reading these first few verses, stay in Galatians, because we're going to tarry there for a short moment. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Whoops, I'm in Isaiah. Okay. Okay, Galatians 3, 6 through 9. And who'd read that for us? Delbert?
Just as Abraham believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness,
Okay, thank you, Delbert. Okay, and because we are blessed is because through his loins came the Messiah, came Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has blessed the world. He's the one that could save the world. Through the people from the loins of Abraham came the scriptures. They wrote the scriptures, okay? And so it's not only we are attached to the trunk, as it were, of Abraham, we have experienced the blessedness because we're attached to that root. Now, in Galatians, let's move over and read verses 13 and 14 in Galatians. I apologize for my voice this morning, folks. Verses 13 and 14. How about somebody different? Who, Gary? Thank you, Gary. Okay, thank you, Gary. There it states it. Couldn't state it any clearer. We're blessed. We're blessed through Abraham. God said to Abraham, I'm going to redeem all the nations through you. I'm going to bring salvation through you. And only as we join up with Abraham, those who wrote the scripture, and the fact that Messiah himself, we are blessed. So how ridiculous would it be to boast against the branches that were cut off as if we were the source of our own blessing? Ridiculous. All right? We owe our blessedness to the covenant God made with Abraham. We're about out of time. Does anybody have any questions or comments? We're about to shut her down. Okay. We have time to go ahead and do verse 19. It's kind of a short one here. If I can hold things together long enough. I tell you what, let's just... my voice is winning the battle. May have to have somebody come up and shut her down. Okay, thank you folks for coming. You're a blessing to for me, and we just want to thank you guys so much for the support that you have given us. You know, just everything you've done. I mean, food, cards, prayers, you name it, and we've got it going on all over Medora. I'm just going to throw something out here. It's part of my reprieve, all right? There just happened to be an antique car show in Inman yesterday. And so I didn't even know about it. And my grandson texted me, Seth, he's my 14-year-old grandson. He said, hey, Dad, there's an antique car show here in Inman. And he said, man, I'm free to go. I don't have, because somebody's supposed to be with Nancy, with her being at hospice house, I can go. And so I said, man, So I went, I was able to go by and pick up Seth. But Medora, for a long time, has had a policy, or is a project that they do. They are set up to where they can print Bibles in foreign languages. This all began several years back. And there's a group of people, and that was their ministry, was to, they would take and they would present, like, normally two books of the Bible. And a lot of times the Gospel of John and I think the book of Romans. But they have printing presses, and they actually supply the door with the printing presses and stuff to print these things up. They're just little pamphlets. They're about so thick, you know, but they're pamphlets this size and that thick. It's got the two books of Bible. They distribute them, and they're set up to where they can do them things fast. And they take these things, and you might be printing something in Turkish and Iranian, you know, their language. But they have got a printing press, and they can stamp these things out, and they can go. and they have get-togethers, and they put these Bibles together, and they ship them to this company that's headed the whole thing up, and they send these things off. And I mean, and they can do, like we might, in a weekend, we might do 5,000 of those little things, you know. And then they send them to their missionary. I mean, they distribute the things, and all these people are getting the Word of God in their own language. And anyway, Medora has done that. And I got to thinking, you know, our time is up. But I got to thinking for a long time. Anyway, it would be good for us to team up with them and help them. Okay, I need to back up here. When I went to pick Seth up to take him to the Inman car show, he was there working, making Bibles. And Carice had been there, and the other kids. I mean, little kids can help, you know. They got people running back and forth and everywhere. It would be good for, I just thought it'd be great fellowship. Rush used to say, hey, you guys need some extra help? And they'd say, oh, you betcha. You know, they'll take all the help they can get. The more help they get, the more Bibles they can make. Because, I mean, you got people stacking. There's, anyway, it's, okay, my mind. It's something I would like to see. I think it'd be fun to get together and just say, hey, when you guys do this, let us know. We'll come help you out. It'd be great. So, and it's, I mean, what else can you do to distribute the Word of God into the hands of people that don't have it, that want it? So, it's time to close. We're over time. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this great book. Lord, thank you for your blessings, and Lord, just the way you provide, you take care of us. Lord, help us to realize we are dedicated to you, Lord, and help us to be more faithful in having a closer walk with you. Lord, to have a stronger desire, Lord, to learn more about you, get to know you better, and Lord, just to understand who you are. And Father, just I pray that you'll be a pastor and a service to follow. I pray that you'll be with him, Lord, and just speak through him to everyone, and just pray that it'll be a blessing. And we're thankful, Lord, for your goodness and the ability to meet, come and meet and have Christian fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray.